Yes, hello. Thank you very much for taking your time today to follow this conference call on the first half of 2019 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and by Mr. Simone Montanari, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. During today's conference call, we will use the presentation you can download from our group website. And as usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we may use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Simone Montanari.
Thanks, Raffaele, and hello, everyone, and thanks for attending our quarterly call. I'm glad to start the call with the slide number 4, which summarizes the strong and sound results achieved in the first semester of 2019. First of all, I'd like to underscore, as you can see at the model of the slides, the healthy results achieved at cash generation level, which is our key priority. Notwithstanding heightened capital expenditure to support new initiatives for future growth, we have been able to generate €64 million of free cash flow to equity or cash flow available. Thanks to this significant result, and even after the payment of 2018 dividend in April, we have been able to generate a positive cash flow that pushed down the net debt €31 million below year-end 2018. Healthy performance at cash flow level came on top of and from strong improvement of all key operating metrics. Volumes grew close to 6%. Goods is stood out, growing around 43% behind the success of the new bike V85 TT. Net sales went up by 12%, that has been the highest growth rate to date, with all geographies positively contributing. Operating margins rose significantly, notably with the EBITDA reaching the best absolute result since 2007, while keeping the percentage on sales at 2018 level, which represent an all-time high. Having these strong results in mind, we can move to the following page 5 to have a snapshot of the key market trends. We ended the first semester with mixed but market trend, with positive in European and overall weakening market in Asia and India. Europe kept on posting sound demand, although the growth has slowed down in Q2, ending up around 12%. More importantly, the positive trend was widespread among all product segments, with scooters up 12% and bikes up by 8%. And among all displacement segments, with 50cc vehicles up by 20% and over 50cc vehicles up by 8%. Additionally, all key countries ended on the rise, with Italy, Germany, France and Spain all up double digits. In our view, this picture suggests that the long-awaited structural reversion of the trend may finally be underway. With this positive European context, Piaggio Group kept the market share in line with the first half of 2018. In Asia, demand confirmed to be mixed and volatile. Indonesia kept on posting the best demand growth, ending up high single digits. Conversely, Vietnam kept on trending down mid-single digit. Among other major countries, Thailand confirmed to be the lackluster trend of a recent quarter. As expected, in India, three-wheeler light commercial vehicle market ended down, exclusively affected by the extremely tough comparison base for passenger, which demand had been boosted by the release of new licenses in some big cities in the first half of last year. I would like to remind that the passenger demand ended 2018 up 57% against 2017. Therefore, excluding the 2018 one-off effect, demand for these kind of vehicles in India is still very robust. LCV cargo were on a different path, ending slightly up against prior year. On the other side, and on the other business, two-wheelers demand kept on trending down across the semester, both in bikes and scooters, mainly affected by the tough comparison base. Furthermore, the negative trend had been amplified by the price hike, mainly linked to the regulatory changes. In this context, Piaggio gained market share both in three-wheelers and two-wheelers. Let's move now to page six to have an in-depth analysis of trend of Piaggio results by business. As you can see, we ended the first quarter with overall volumes progressing by 6%, leading to a 12% revenue growth or 11% at constant Forex. These healthy results stemmed from synchronized growth in all cash-generating units and in all businesses, with both light commercial vehicles and two-wheeler grew around +6% in volumes and around 12% at revenue level. More in detail, looking at the performance by geographic area. India, although slowing down, ended with revenues on the rise, both in light commercial vehicles and two-wheelers. Notably, in light commercial vehicles, we have been able to grow in the domestic market against a demand contraction. These positive results, coupled with the ongoing strong exports, led the total revenue growing around 10% over 180 million euro. That has been the best performance since 2011, with no relevant Forex effect. Indian two-wheelers performance has been sustained by the surge in export, more than compensating for the increasing weakness of the domestic demand trend. In addition, I'd like to highlight that both in light commercial vehicles and two-wheelers, our average selling prices were on the rise despite unsupportive market demand. Asia Pacific surprised again on the upside, with positive performance accelerating across the semester. Volume rose 20%, that is in Q1 17% and in Q2 + 23%, and the revenues 29%, again Q1 26% and Q2 31%. From a country standpoint, the strongest contribution in Asia came from Indonesia, with revenues surging around 60%, followed by China and Thailand. Vietnam too, despite the slowdown in the second quarter, ended with revenues growing double digits. Also in Asia, average prices were on the rise, also excluding the positive Forex effect. Lastly, we kept on posting strong results in EMEA and Americas, both in two-wheelers and light commercial vehicles. European two-wheelers, despite the reduction of dealer stock versus prior year, posted healthy growth both in volume and revenues, with the latter growing around 9%, also benefiting from positive price and mix effect. Notably, all major countries, Italy, France, Germany, and Spain, gave positive contribution to growth. Americas reverted the negative Q1 trend in Q2, ending the semester on the rise both at volume and revenue level. Light commercial vehicles kept on posting outstanding results, with revenues up around 19%, driven by the synchronized growth of European and export sales. To sum up, we ended the first semester with the strongest revenue growth rate to date, benefiting from widespread and positive performance across all regions and businesses. Let's move now to page 7 to look at the breakdown of the performance by product. First of all, I'd like to highlight that the revenue growth stemmed from all product segments. Scooter performance accelerated across the semester, with revenues on the rise in all geographic areas, with volume growing up to 192K and revenues at nearly 400 euro million. Namely, growth has been driven by the most diverse scooter and brands in our product lineup, from the MP3 and the Vespa, as well as we will see in the following slide. Looking at the bikes, the mismatch between the volumes decrease, -6%, and the revenues, +14%, has been driven by the mix shifting towards high displacement segments. With this regard, the performance of the recently launched Moto Guzzi V85 TT outperformed our expectation, as shown by the info we added on the following slide, slide 8. So let's move to slide 8. On this slide, we have highlighted the strong results achieved by some of our top brands and vehicles. Vespa positive performance accelerated across the semester, with revenues going from mid-single-digit growth in Q1 up to 17% at the end of the semester. To be mentioned, the outstanding result in Asia Pacific, +28% in volume, +34% in revenue, namely in Indonesia, with volume surging around 50%. Also, MP3 revenues accelerated across the semester, ending up +20%, also reflecting the successful launch of the new 500cc and 300cc versions. All major countries positively contributed, in particular in France, who rose 15%. Lastly, both the MP3 and Vespa average prices went up across the board, further proving the strength of the brands. Moto Guzzi kept on benefiting from the success of the recently launched V85 TT, with over 3,000 units sold, ending the semester with revenues up around 50%. These strong results and the brand power bode well for the second half of 2019. Let's move now to page nine to have a look at the EBITDA bridge. As said before, EBITDA, not including IFRS 16 effect, grew by 12%, reaching 131 million euro. That has been the best absolute H1 performance since 2007, keeping the margin on net sales at 16%, which represents, together with last year performance, an all-time peak. Notably, excluding Forex effect, the EBITDA margin would have been 16.1%, the best performance to date. This result was driven by the sound performance at gross margin level, which grew by 22 million euro on the back of the strong improvement of net sales, which had largely offset the slight negative effect stemming from the dilutive product mix, as well as the negative Forex effect on the gross margin percentage on net sales. It is worth noting that excluding the negative currency effect, the percentage gross margin would have been 30.8%. That means well above our long-term target of 30%. Cash operating expenses ended up versus prior year, reflecting higher marketing expenses to support new initiatives and upfront cost for new product development. To be mentioned that in terms of ratio to net sales, cash OpEx decreased from the 17.5% in 2018 down to 16.5% in 2019 first half. Lastly, as you can see, IFRS 16 adoption brought a positive effect, lifting the EBITDA to 100 million euro and 34.3 million euro, and the margin on sales to 16.4%, up from the 16% of last year. Going now to slide 10, we can analyze the net profit bridge. Net result, excluding IFRS 16, surged by 30%, or +8 million euro against prior year, with margin on net sales reaching 4.2%, 600 basis point percentage above last year. This outstanding result stemmed from higher EBITDA, as commented before. As expected, slightly higher D&A coming from the past year higher investment level, and again, as expected, lower financial expenses as we kept on reaping the benefit of lower level of debt and lower cost of funding arising from the recent initiative at that level. Higher taxes driven by the higher earning before tax, with the flat tax rate at 45%, in line with the full year 2019 target, but not including the impact coming from the recent agreement we signed with the revenue agency on the patent box. We can now move to page 11, which summarizes the figures just discussed. To provide a better comparison of information from different years, on this slide, 2019 data are presented excluding IFRS 16 effect. Net sales from 730 million euro up to 817 million, 12% or 10.7% excluding Forex, mainly driven by US dollar and Vietnamese đồng revaluation versus euro. Gross margin from 228 million up to 250 million euro, by 10% or 8.8% excluding the Forex effect, with margin on net sales slightly down to 30.6% or 30.8% excluding the Forex effect. EBITDA from 116 million of last year up to 130 million euro of 2019, meaning +12% and also +12% at constant Forex, with margin on net sales stable at 16%, but on the rise to 16.1% at constant Forex. EBIT from 62 million up to 75 million euro, +21%, with margin on net sales 70 basis points better from 8.5% to 9.2% on net sales. Net income from 27 million euro of 2018 up to 35 million euro, meaning +30%, with the ratio to net sales from 3.7% up to 4.2%. Furthermore, you can notice at the bottom of the slide the positive performance at cash flow level that led the net debt at 398 million euro, well below both June 2019 and year-end 2018 level. We can now move to the following page 12, where you can see the results including the IFRS 16 effect. As said before, IFRS 16 brought a positive effect on the EBITDA, which reached 134.3 million euro, up 15.2%, a slightly positive effect on the EBIT, which reached 75.1 million euro, a not material negative effect on net income, which landed at 34.6 million euro, and a negative effect on the net financial position for 20 million euro, reaching 418 million euro including IFRS, in any case, well below June 2018, 431 million euro, and December 2018, 429 million levels. Let's move to page 13 to have an in-depth analysis of the evolution of the net debt. In my opinion, this is the most significant slide since it testifies our ability to reduce the net debt while increasing CapEx for future growth and returning value to the shareholders. In details, operating cash flow grew against last year, primarily on the back of the higher EBITDA. Working capital drove a very positive cash generation of around 30 million euro that has been the strongest achieved to date, mainly driven by the strong containment of inventories, higher contribution of payables, while we have been able to rein in the receivables despite significantly higher net sales and factoring in line with prior year. As expected, higher capital expenditure, significantly higher than last year, +13 million euro, driven by higher focus on new product launches, but consistent with the full-year target in the range of 125 million-130 million euro. Lastly, the change in equity that was higher than last year, reflecting the dividend paid April 2019. As a result, we produced more than 33 million euro of cash, which pushed down the net debt, excluding IFRS 16, lower than 400 million euro at 388 million euro, well below 431 million of June 2018 and 429 of year-end 2018. As a result, the leverage went down to 1.8 against 2.2 of 2018, which testifies that we are fully on track with our long-term goal to keep the leverage below 2. Even more importantly, we had the strongest generation of free cash flow to equity to date, around 64 million euro. Lastly, including the IFRS 16 effect, the net financial position ended at 418 million euro, also in this case, well below June and year-end 2018 level. Thanks to these sound results, the board of directors decided to distribute an interim dividend of $0.055 per share, taking into account several factors. The positive performance of financial and economic indicators during the current year, the need for Piaggio to align with the leading international companies in the two-wheeler sector with whom investors may make comparisons, and the opportunity to stabilize the company's cash flow. Additionally, I'd like to underline that this decision relies also on a commitment to generate a strong free cash flow to equity, allowing us to combine a double goal: to reduce the net debt while returning value to shareholders and continuing to invest for future growth, with the full year guidance for CapEx at around €125-130.
Okay. So now we are ready to answer the questions you may have. Thank you.
We remind all participants to dial star 1 to book a question. The first question comes from Monica Bosio of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking my questions. The first one, it's my usual question on consensus, but I believe it makes sense. I remember that in occasion of the first quarter figures, the company guided for an EBITDA in the range of 220. But as a matter of fact, the second quarter was better than our expectation. And my feeling is that an EBITDA in the range of 225-230 might be more reliable or might have sense. Do you share my view? And this is the first question. The second one is on the European two-wheel market. The momentum for volumes is positive. Can you please give us some indication or some anticipation on the July trend in Europe for two wheels? And the very last, it's in India. You managed to increase the volumes in LCV in India by 2.6%, but the market is suffering from an unfavorable comparison base. You have the export. So I'm just wondering if you can give us a rough indication of what are you targeting in terms of volumes growth for the Indian market, both in LCV and in two wheels. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ms. Bosio. I will answer to the first question, then I will hand on to Mr. Lupotto for the second one. Guidance. Consensus figures, including IFRS 16, are pointing to revenues up around 8% at the moment, reaching around 1.5 billion revenues, and to an EBITDA, excluding IFRS 16, around 219 million. I think that given these H1 strong results, and in particular with the performance we experienced in Asia and in Europe that exceeded our estimates, I think that we can be a bit more positive compared to this guidance, and we may arrive to something in the region of, I'm talking about EBITDA excluding IFRS 16, from 220 up to 225, then I will leave it up to you. If we speak including IFRS 16 effect, I think that we may move to €230 million, roughly speaking. Additionally, and more importantly, given the current cash flow generation, and notwithstanding the payment of the interim dividend that we saw today, I think that we should be able to keep the net debt, excluding IFRS 16, at the end of the year, lower than year-end 2018, and in line with the first guidance we gave at the beginning of the year, that was to end 2019 with a net debt at €420 million level. I think that we may stay with this guidance, considering the positive cash flow generated, and also notwithstanding the dividend interim we saw today.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Monica. Raffaele speaking. So, going to your second question regarding the European market, I'm glad to say that in the first 3 weeks of July, the European market went up in the region of 10-12%, with all major countries growing. I mean, France, Italy, Spain, and Germany. I can add also that both scooter and motorbikes were growing in the region of 10% or even more.
How much, sorry?
10%, more than 10% both segments, scooter and bikes. And also in terms of displacement, both 50cc and over 50cc vehicles went up double digits. So we have a sort of widespread positive trend in the first 3 weeks of July.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. And for India?
For the Indian market, yes. So concerning the month of July, so we think that we can go on growing the export market. You know that there is a little bit of a soft market in terms of demand or domestic demand. But overall, our volumes, we have just a view on our volumes. Our volumes should be broadly in line with last year, okay, for the month of July.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
The next question comes from Niccolò Storer of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three. The first one, if you can a little bit elaborate on the drivers of the strong price mix effect reported in Western countries, and if you see this effect continuing into the second part of the year. Second question, Southeast Asia was particularly strong against a weak market, so if you can help us understanding what drove this outperformance and how this outperformance could be sustainable going forward. And third question, if you can help us in reconciling figures on two-wheelers volumes in India, because implicit volume from your press release and presentation in the second quarter of this year is 18,000, 19,000 units, while from the CM reports that we get from Raffaele every month, we are at 24,000. So I would like to understand why this gap, and that's it, basically.
Thanks, Mr. Torre. I will start with the first two questions, in particular drivers behind the positive price mix that we're experiencing in Western countries. Basically, it's a matter of mix, obviously, product mix, in particular higher than 50cc displacement contribution to our 100% total sales, and higher than 2018 bikes, and in particular high displacement bikes compared to 2018 level, brought the average prices up, together with a sound policy of no or limited discounts in this, even in this market scenario. I think that this will stay also for the second half of the year, so I do not see any risk on this. Southeast Asia, which has been the drivers behind the growth, I'm not looking at Vietnam. Vietnam is pretty stable, flat compared to last year. The growth has come from Thailand and Indonesia. Do you know that we have different approaches to these different countries? In particular, in Thailand, we are commercializing our products through an importer, while in Indonesia, we do have a direct presence with our subsidiaries. You know also that when we enter into a market, it takes time to have success in this market because we do not push very hard on commercial or marketing activities, while we leave the marketing activities being our product itself. This approach is very effective in terms of cost, but takes time. I think that it's a long period of time that we are there, and we are starting again collecting positive results, together with the switch of management we had in the area last year. And you remember we commented on this 12 or 18 months ago. As for the third question, I leave the ground to Mr. Lupotto.
Yes, so yeah, essentially if you sum up all the data you can find the CM report, you should land more to 40,000 vehicles sold in two-wheeler in India compared to the 36 that we, you see in the presentation. The reason is that some of the exports from India are going to Middle East or Americas or Europe, and so we consolidate this data in the EMEA and Americas cash generating unit. That's the only difference.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. If I may add, Mr. Montaner, again, on Southeast Asia result, we had also more than positive contribution, higher than our expectation of the results coming from China. The volumes are still quite limited, but the value is very high, it brings the average price high, and also the profitability is definitely interesting in this area.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from François Robial of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. First one is on the new products pipeline. You're investing quite a lot to develop new products and I guess also to comply with new regulations in Europe and Asia. Can you give us some more visibility on what are the next products and when we can expect some new items coming out in those markets? Second question, quite related, is about the Indian electric vehicles that were announced for the second part of this year. Again, some more visibility on volume expectation and date to launch the commercialization. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Starting from the first one, new product pipeline, so you are right in pointing out that we are investing in new regulation, in particular in Euro 5 for Europe and in Bharat 6 in India. Then we are investing on the four-wheel vehicles, on the project with Foton that is proceeding in line with our expectation and that we'll see the light in terms of commercialization by the second half of 2020. We are investing on the electric vehicles, in particular in Asia and in China, but not only for the Asian and Chinese market, but also for the European one. As for the two-wheel product range, that is scooter and bikes, we are investing more than in what we did in 2018 and definitely more than what we did in 2017. I think that as to have some comments on the new product, we have to wait for the EICMA in order to disclose also the new launches. Coming to India, electric vehicles, we are working on this, and I can confirm that by the end of the year, we will have a three-wheel electric in India. I do not expect any material result on 2019 data, so the P&L will be the one that we commented before when we were speaking about guidances with Ms. Bosio, but again, something that we will start this year, and I think that it's a good start from the next year.
Just a follow-up one. In terms of volume or value incrementation on your Indian data, if you can give us a taste of how the electric vehicle, what are your expectations on the electric vehicle?
Overall volumes in India will be higher than last year, as Mr. Lupotto was commenting before, but we didn't disclose how many electric vehicles we will sell in 2019.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Emanuele Gallazzi of Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. Just two quick questions. The first one is on India, and in particular on Bharat 6, which is going to be implemented in April 2020. Which kind of expectation do you have on the potential impact of this regulation on the market? And the last one is a follow-up on new products. If you can give us an update on Jeeta and the hybrid Vespa.
Hello. Starting from Bharat 6, clearly we have to adapt our product range to the new regulation in India. Not only in India, it's what we already and always do all around the world. We do not have any technical issues at the moment, and neither we see technical issues for the future. And we see also it as an opportunity to strengthen and enlarge our product lineup. As other players, very likely we will have to adjust the product price in order to compensate for the cost increase that will occur. As for the new product, in particular referring to Geeta and to the hybrid Vespa, let's start from the hybrid Vespa. The hybrid Vespa is a new vehicle that has been already developed with a marketing approach for marketing choice. At the moment, we didn't launch the vehicle into the market, also considering the fact that the market, the electric market, in particular in Europe, is still very limited. Is it true that it is very interesting, but at the moment, in terms of absolute terms, it's very limited, and we thought that having one single product for now would be sufficient in order to meet market request. As for Geeta, you know that Boston activities have to be considered an R&D laboratory working in not only one product but in a set of new ideas. Geeta is one of these new ideas that we are working on. The development level of Geeta is 90%, I would say, very, very likely something more. And we plan to have a pilot terms in terms of commercial activities by the end of this year, by Christmas time. This is not something that will affect our P&L in terms of being material on our P&L, but it will be a commercial approach that we will start during this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Gabriele Gambarova of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my questions. The first one is on the expectations on the Indian market. At the beginning of the year, you were pretty optimistic. Now I see that the numbers are basically in line with last year. So I was wondering if you could update your view for the fiscal year 2019 in terms of volume on this side, both for three-wheelers and two-wheelers, and the same for Far East, because if India is a little bit behind the curve, it seems that Far East is offsetting or is doing even better than originally expected. So if you could give me an idea what are your expectations at the margins on these two important markets. Thanks.
Yes, Raffaele speaking. For India, as expected, we have seen a slowdown in Q2. The market should stabilize also our volumes in Q3. And finally, we should resume growth in Q4. I mean both for two-wheeler and light commercial vehicles. As you know, for light commercial vehicles, there is a very tough comparison base. I remind you that the market is still close to 60% higher than 2017, so that's the reason why we are slowing down a little bit. In any case, going forward, given the fact we are introducing new models, given the fact we are speeding up with the dealer network widening, we think that we can reach around 300,000 vehicles. And this is the new target that we have, or close to 300,000 vehicles for my commercial vehicle. Similar trend for two-wheelers. You know that we have recently launched the Aprilia Storm. The Aprilia brand is performing quite well in India. We are outperforming the market. I forgot to say that we are outperforming also in light commercial vehicle. And also in this case, also helped by this strong expansion of the dealer network, we are targeting more than 300 points of sales. We should be able to, again, start growing at the end of Q3 and then in Q4, and to reach, volumes in the region of 96,000-97,000 vehicles. Conversely, and you are perfectly right, probably we'll be more aggressive for Asia-Pacific. I know quite well the consensus figures. We started the year with 93,000-94,000 vehicles, and now it's very easy to imagine to go 96 or even more thousand vehicles by the end of the year. And as we were mentioning before, we are doing extremely well in some countries, namely Indonesia, Thailand, and China. So you can be more prudent on one side and more aggressive on the other.
Okay, can I ask you, sorry, can I ask you if, I don't know if you mentioned them, but is it possible to get a breakdown of the Far East volumes? You said that Vietnam was basically flat, but I think I missed the numbers on Indonesia and Thailand.
Rough numbers, Vietnam flat, Indonesia is roughly +50% compared to last year, and Thailand it is +30%, and then flat results on other minor countries as well in Taiwan and South Korea, very positive in China, that is more than +30%.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at the moment. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question comes from Renato Gargiulo of Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Quick one. I'm referring to your sales data for Vespa and MP3. Could you give us, guys, any more indications in terms of volumes and in terms of major growth drivers in terms of markets? Thank you.
Yes, hello. Raffaele speaking. So, for Vespa, I can give you some rough numbers. So, the volumes went up more than 7%. So now we are more close to 110,000 vehicles sold in the first 6 months. I remind you that last year already we achieved the best results ever, so it bodes very well for the remaining part of the year. In terms of MP3 volumes, we are growing, and I can give you some indication. I will say that we are growing close to double digits by half, and this is what we are doing in terms of volumes, and clearly in terms of revenues, there is a positive mix effect. The most important country that, as you know, is for MP3, France. Is what I can say.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Question.
The next question comes from Saul Rubin of Wedington Management. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, thank you. Two questions related to cash flow and dividends. Could you just talk about seasonality of cash flow between the first half and second half? I guess second half is normally not as strong as the first half, but what are you expecting for this year? And secondly, what kind of cash flows do you think you need to be generating in order to be able to increase the dividend from the current levels?
Thanks, Mr. Rubin. Mr. Montanari speaking. In terms of cash flow, traditionally, the first semester is cash positive, while the second one is cash neutral. This year, as you read, we will have the dividend, interim dividend distribution on the second half, so expect that the second half will be slightly cash negative. In any case, if I consider that in this moment, we have around 30 million euro of advantage compared to the situation of net debt of June 2018, I think that we will close the year with lower than 30 million euro advantage compared to December 2018, but in any case, lower than December 2018. At the beginning of the conference call, we said that our expectation is to close the year, excluding IFRS 16 effect, with the net debt down to 420 million euro.
Okay, so just to clarify, you expect slightly negative for the second half after the payment?
Yes, slightly negative after the payment.
After the payment.
Of the interest, while positive before the payment of the interim dividend.
Okay. Okay, fine.
Okay.
And the current dividends, if you're paying 0.055 every six months, it's about half of your free cash flow, right? That you're paying out in dividends, and your leverage is now down to about 2x. So, how do you think about
Well, I think that this is the right approach that we have to consider while considering the dividend distribution policy that we have in place. That is, if I consider the operating cash flow on a yearly basis, and then I consider that this has to be sufficient in order to fund the capital expenditure, the dividend shareholder remuneration, and the reduction of debt. If you look at the last 3 years, that is the word that I directly remember because we were directly managed by me, you see that notwithstanding and after the capital expenditure and dividend distribution, we always had a positive cash flow, reducing the net debt on a yearly basis. This is what is going to happen also for 2019, and this is our key priorities for the years to come.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no more questions.
Okay, I think that now we can close the call. Thank you, everyone, for attending this meeting. Okay. Bye.